We're here with the CEO and co-founder of Hallo, a leading app in Catholic prayer. So first of all, Alex, can you tell us a bit about your company?
Thanks so much for having me. So Hallo is a prayer and meditation app, and we really started it for me because I had fallen away from my faith and came back to it by discovering really what it meant to sit in silence with the Lord and spend time in prayer with Him. But we try to be a resource for anybody trying to grow closer to Jesus, and I'm Catholic, and so we try to build Hallo as an authentically Catholic app, but we have a bunch of folks both of Catholic and non-Catholic Christian backgrounds coming in and praying together, so it was a blessing to get to pray with everybody.
And how exactly, like, does your app work? Do you get, a daily prayer sort of deal? Or, you know, or is there more features that people can, use to enhance their faith?
Yeah, so you just go to the App Store or the Google Play Store, type in Hallo, like Hallowed Be Thy Name, and download it. And then what we do is we try to lead you through these meditation sessions. It's like going on a retreat. Just for 5-10 minutes in the comfort of your own home. You plug in your headphones or play your phone out loud and choose a session that works for you. We have daily prayers. We have daily gospels. We have imaginative prayer sessions, thousands of different ways to try to go closer to the Lord, sermons, education, music, sleep. And you just choose one that works for you, press play, close your eyes, and you're led in these prayer and meditation sessions by, the best retreat leaders in the world. And so it's a real blessing to see the work that God does through it. But yeah, that's generally how it works.
Wow. Yeah. Impressive. So, this is a massive undertaking to put the church on the online digital realm. So is the online space a bit of a whole new frontier for the Catholic Church?
I think God can do really cool things through it. We've seen it. I mean, over the last 5-6 years, we've been working on it. I think we just crossed 900 million prayers prayed through the app, 25 million downloads. So people, it seems, are hungry for this, especially young people, but really people of all age ranges, and are hungry, I think, especially for growing deeper in a real relationship with the Lord, which you don't do through technology, but it can be a helpful tool. It's like getting to go on a retreat without having to travel all the way, or getting to spend time with a great meditation leader or a great sermon or a great preacher without having to follow them or find them and travel to them. So for us, it's been a real blessing to see what God has done through it. Whether we like it or not, where people are spending their time, if we as a church are trying to reach out to the folks, especially people who have fallen away, where people are spending their time is on their phones, they're scrolling. And so for us, that's the real mission, is to try to reach out to folks, especially folks who are fallen away, who aren't showing up to church, and introduce them to a relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely. You got to meet people where they are. So what are your takeaways from the conclave process that just played out this past week? It wrapped up pretty quick, only 2 days. So what are your key takeaways?
Yeah, the whole process was a blessing for me to get to. This was my first kind of process as a Catholic. I came back to my faith, 6-7 years ago, which is why we ended up starting Hallo and building it really selfishly just for me. But, the whole process was really, really quite beautiful. I was struck by it in a bunch of different ways. I mean, the first is, Pope Francis is passing, having it be on the night after Easter Sunday. I mean, it's just such a beautiful poetic and, God's hand just very clearly shaping it. So the timing, for me was really powerful. And then watching, especially the process, although it was pretty quick, the thing that I was really struck by was how prayerful it was. And we all try to make the church political. That's just what we try to do. It's what they tried to do to Jesus when he was here, and it's what you read about in the Gospels. But, I think what we did really well as a church, what the cardinals did well, and even, folks in the faith space did really well, is really tried to enter into it in a spirit of prayer and use it as an opportunity for us to welcome the Lord into our hearts in a more radical way. And so that's what I was most blown away with and most grateful for.
So what do you make of the large, the mainstream fascination with the actual conclave process? Is that, do you think, a good sign for the Catholic Church? Is this, can the church build on this air of mystery and maybe, get people in, get people, more in line with their faith?
Yeah, the thing that I think is really cool about it is people are fascinated by it. And I think at least part of the reason why they're fascinated by it is because it feels so different from everything else. It just feels like you've got the political elections in the U.S. You've got, all the politics happening, all the different organizational leaderships and all these things. But there's something about what happens you know, a bunch of people coming together and praying in the Sistine Chapel and the smoke and the, you're right, there's a mystery, there's an intrigue to it, but it just feels very different from the world. And that, honestly, I think is what the church tries to do, is to say, hey, look, this is something that's different. The Holy Spirit gave us this and protects it and makes sure that the gates of hell do not prevail against it. And this is a different thing than a political election. This is us trying to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and to behave in a way that is not of this world. And that would be my hope for people, both when they see the new Pope and when they see the church and when they're interested in it. You're brought in by this mystery of, wow, that feels like something different. And maybe there's something bigger at play here. And if you could just take a minute and follow that kind of gut, the little nudge to spend a little bit more time, or maybe give God a chance when you haven't in a while, or maybe for those of us who take our faith seriously, doubling down, you know, hey, this is really important. I'm going to spend not 5 minutes in prayer a day, but 20 minutes, not 20 minutes, but 30 minutes, you know, really trying to dedicate our lives more fully to the Lord.
Absolutely. You know, we'll see how this impacts as far as, you know, church turnout, people's faith. So you mentioned politics. The Pope has been named, and it is the first Pope from the United States. So how significant is an American Pope?
You know, it's crazy for me, honestly, because the first Pope is named during, you know, this is the first time that we've had a Pope named during the existence of Hallow and during when I had come back to my faith. So that alone is crazy. It happens to be an American Pope, which is insane. The chances of it being an American Pope were very low. It happens to be a Pope who was born in Chicago, which is where my wife and I live with our three little kiddos. Two of our little kiddos are boys. The first one is named or the second one is named August, and the Pope happens to be an Augustinian. And the first one is named Leo, which is the name that the Pope chose. So for me, it was a pretty surreal day.
Wow.
Of, you know, you just get to watch the God's hand at work and get to laugh sometimes at what he does and how he tries to remind us that he's still here and still with us. But I think it's huge. I think it's going to be a really powerful thing for us as Americans to get to have a Pope. It just makes it, you know, I was watching interviews with his brother, watching people talk about him who grew up with him, and it just makes it a lot more real. You know, it's somebody who grew up in a town that we can relate to, that is close to us, who speaks our language, and, you know, it just makes it a lot more tactical, which is what the faith is about. It's not about something that's, you know, esoteric or that you can't relate to. It's about a man who came, and God came and became a man so that we could follow him to heaven.
How do you think his Chicago background influences his faith? You yourself, you know, reign in from Chicago. How does that city play a role here?
Chicago is a great city. You know, it's very Midwestern, so it's you've got all the stereotypes of the Midwest. You know, you've got politeness, you've got it's just great people. I mean, down to earth folks, and it's I think a great city. And it creates, I don't know, I see it in my kids and the people that we get to hang out with, but it's just really good character. It's just a great character of people, really down to earth and focused on, you know, trying to live a good life. And he is a unique Pope because, you know, he grew up in Chicago, went into the seminary pretty early, but then spent a bunch of time in Peru and serving, you know, communities experiencing pretty radical poverty. And so he's got this combination of international experience, especially missionary experience, especially with the poor, but also having grown up in the Midwest of the U.S. So it's such a, you know, two very different experiences. And then he obviously has all of his Vatican experience working internationally. And so it's going to be really interesting how, you know, how he leads the church. What we've seen really early just from his initial blessing or homilies or writings that he's done in the past is that I think he's focused in a similar way that Francis was on people knowing the heart of Jesus, like people speaking to Jesus, spending time with him and actually getting to know him, not just preaching doctrine, but actually preaching what it means to know Jesus. And that for us is what we've seen resonates the best, is us getting out of the way and letting God do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, you went into it a bit there, but where do you see the Pope now taking the Catholic Church? What direction do you think he's going to take the church?
Yeah, the quote that I referenced when I was talking about it a bit is he has this really beautiful quote that says that we're often as Christians preoccupied with teaching doctrine, and we forget that the first thing we must teach is what it means to know and to love Jesus Christ. And that is, you know, for me, what has changed my life radically. It's just spending 10, 20 minutes with God and just getting to actually know him, not just know what we teach, not just know the creed and know what we believe and know about the Trinity, and not just showing up to Mass on Sundays, although all of those are incredibly important and incredibly beautiful parts of the faith, but actually having a relationship with Jesus. And that's what my hope is for the church. It's what my hope is for the Pope. It's what my hope is for all of us as Christians and for anybody interested in Christian life or Christian spirituality, is just to spend time with Jesus. You know, the politics are so secondary to that. The first thing is, do you know and do you love God? And have you let him into your heart? And what he does when you spend time with him and you let him into your heart is he just changes your life and he just takes it over. And we might get stale and we might go through the motions, but if we let him into our heart, he will constantly renew it and constantly give us the joy and the love and the peace that he has to offer. So that's where I see him taking the church. It's what he's been saying so far in his first, 24 hours or so. And I'm really excited about what the future has in store.
Absolutely. We know faith has such power. Thank you so much, CEO and co-founder of Hallo, Alex Jones. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Praise God.